My dad, Pastor Salem, loved preaching to deliver the message of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, to praise his name and to worship him. This month, Dad continues to deliver this message in his Christmas series. I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to CWH, and thank you for your letters and notes that continue to bless us. From Minnesota, a viewer writes, I think of CWH as my church since I'm in assisted living care, and love the sermons and lessons by Pastor Salem. Thank you, CWH staff, for keeping the ministry going. And from Kansas, thank you for your weekly messages of faith and inspiration. I enjoy the sermon each week from Pastor Salem. I look forward to tuning in or going online to hear each week's message. God bless you all and the work you are doing. We hope today's service, Christ Came to Provide a Sacrifice for Sin, will be of encouragement to you as we continue our study on the reasons for the Incarnation. God bless your week.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we have a special sermon today about, we have a series on why Jesus came. And we're going to be looking today, Jesus came to be a sacrifice for our sins. But before that, we want to look at Psalm 51, where David prays after his great sin. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. And dear Heavenly Father, we join with David as we pray, forgive us for our sins, when we failed you and we sinned against you. And we thank you that in you we always find forgiveness. So bless us in this service, Lord, as we see about the coming of your Son and how he came to be a sacrifice for the sins of the world. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And Barb is going to sing a song today right along with this wonderful December season when we're thinking and talking about the coming of Jesus unto you this night. And God bless you, Barb.
On a night so long ago, by the light of one bright star, two weary travelers far from Galilee took refuge in a stable where a little child was born to bring the gift of love to you and me. When the angels told the shepherds of his birth, there came a great rejoicing on the earth. They sang, glory to God in the highest, on that first Christmas morn. Peace on earth and tidings of great joy, for unto you this night a child. Many years since then, an ancient star still guides us, and now again our Christmas voices ring. Lest we are safe at home with loved ones here beside us, and in the still and silent night we sing. How the angels told the shepherds of his birth. There came a great rejoicing on the earth. They sang, glory to God in the highest, on that first Christmas morn. Peace on earth and tidings unto you this night, a child is born. They sang, glory to God in the highest, on that first Christmas morn. Peace on earth and tidings of great joy, for unto you this night a child is born. For unto you this night a child is born.
Well, thank you, Barb. And just think, just 1 week and we celebrate Christmas Eve. And it's the most wonderful time of the year, I think. And every hearts are more tender, and I don't know, the whole world just rejoices because this blessed, wonderful Jesus comes 1 week from today. And then so next Sunday, we'll have a special sermon on why did Jesus come? He came to demonstrate the love of God. And so I just pray for our services as we celebrate the coming of the Savior. But we have to read some letters. And we get letters all the time. Who like to hear the letters? And so we want to share some of them with you because it gives us a little time. Maybe they're asking a question that you're asking. And we have people write and say, well, I always wondered about that, but I didn't want to write in because I didn't want to sound dumb. Well, I'm going to tell you, friend, nobody has all the answers. And so together we'll work it out and we'll look at the book and we'll find the answers. Well, this first letter comes from Ekalaka, Montana, and this is what he says. I am 9 years old, and I live on a very small town in Montana called Ekalaka. I've been there. It's a beautiful part of the country. I wrote because I had a pony that I got when I was 3 years old. Her hooves kept growing and growing, and eventually they started curling upwards and made it hard for her to walk. Last year, we decided to put her down. I was really sad. I would like to know if she will be in heaven. Please write back because I may not be able to watch your programs on television. Thank you very much, and God bless you. Well, we get these questions a lot of times about animals because you can love an animal a lot. I know we did out on the farm. And so this little boy here, he's 9 years old, so I think maybe 10, maybe by now, I don't know. It's been a little while I got this letter. But anyway, will there be animals in heaven? And I don't know of any scripture that says either way, but I know this. I know in the Garden of Eden, God had animals. So if he had them in the Garden of Eden, maybe he'll have them in heaven. We'll just wait and see. And God will do the right thing. Here's Bronx, New York. Your television program is a blessing to me. Your kindness and encouragement have comforted me and deepened my faith. God bless you. And, of course, we can just have to say that this all happens, this spiritual growth happens, because we're preaching the Bible. And that's where we all grow. We don't grow from human wisdom. Our people's ideas or thoughts, we grow from the Word of God, the precious Word of God. And by the way, we have a little Bible study that we send out every month, and it's called The New Song, The New Song. And for the month of December, our Bible study is on gifts that money can't buy, gifts that money can't buy. And you might just be surprised what we study about. And it's all out of the Bible, all from the Scripture. And we'll give you the address in just a minute, so get your pen and pencil and paper ready. Here's Luray, Virginia. Thank you for the way that you preach and teach the gospel without fear or compromise. Well, we do that because, like St. Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And so that's what we're called to do. Be messengers of God and preach the word, not our ideas or what we might think, or some philosophy, or a dozen other things, but preach the word. And woe if we don't preach the word. Let's see, here's Minneapolis, Minnesota. I've asked my daughter to write this for me because I am blind and 97 years old. He's a year older than I am. I'm very jealous of him. But that's just the way God made it. I'm 97 years old. I have been married for 71 years to the same woman, and we are both alive yet. Then he said, I'm an old Army vet from World War II. I've attended a Missionary Alliance church since 1981. My wife answered the phones for Billy Graham. I am homebound now and watch your church service every Sunday. We are sending you money so you can keep preaching the gospel. We pray many will come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior from fellow believers. And here's a dear brother, 97, served our country, and we need to be appreciative to these men and women who have paid a great price to serve our country, and we honor them and love them because of their service. Here's Dannemora, New York prison. It gives me such pleasure. This is a young man, by the way. It gives me such pleasure to write this letter because I've been listening to your preaching every Sunday morning. It brings such honor and joy to hear you preach the Word of God. I take up the cross. I took up the cross and was walking with the Lord, but I let the devil feed me along the way, and I drifted from the Lord, and now I'm in prison. I don't want my soul to be lost, so I'm asking all the brothers and sisters in Christ to remember me, please, in your prayers. May the good Lord bless and keep you always in the faith, along with brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't that a sad story that here he is? Influenced his life. And I want to tell you right now, I know some are saying, well, the devil will never get me. You better watch out, Buster. The devil will tempt anybody. When he wanted to tempt one, he tempted the apostles, the disciples. And who did he get? He took the treasurer of the group to tempt him. And so he's not afraid to tempt anybody. As a matter of fact, the devil tempted Jesus. So don't think he'll pass you by. And the only way to be sure that you don't fall is to stay in the Word, read that Bible every day and pray and lean on Jesus. But the nice thing is, here's this gentleman, he's in prison, but he knows Jesus, so he can shine for the Lord. He can be a missionary there. St. Paul was in prison, and he was a missionary in prison. And so we hear from a lot of people in prison. And all of you just, you know, they say, bloom where you're planted. Just shine for Jesus. And you can witness to people we'll never, ever touch. And who knows how many you'll bring to the Lord because you are faithful to the Lord. Here's Baysville, Ohio. I am a widow and my finances are limited, and I appreciated how you explained your ministry. You explained how your ministry uses the smallest offerings. Please pray for me. I am lonely and I am trying to serve Christ in some ways. Keep preaching Jesus' name and God bless you. And so we're here helping somebody in Ohio. And while I was reading that, I just remembered I forgot to say something I meant about the previous letter. This young man in prison says, I don't want my soul to be lost. And that's the thing I wanted to touch the most. You can know you're saved. You can know you're saved. And there are lots of verses, but let me give you my favorite verse. The verse that helped me, it gave me more assurance than any other verse in the Bible. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. You have everlasting life the minute you believe on the name of the Lord. And he says, and shall not come, and Jesus goes on, and you have everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. That is, you won't go into hell, but you're passed from death unto life. John 5:24. And so just believe God. That's what you have to do. Just believe him, and you have eternal life. If you trust Jesus, and you say, I don't know how, what do you mean by trust Jesus? We mean simply that you ask Jesus to come into your heart, and you just tell Jesus you're a sinner, and he knows it, but he wants you to confess. He says, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you. I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart, take away my sins, and I'll follow you the best I can. I'll make you my Lord, and thank you, Jesus. And you're heaven bound. And every once in a while we get a letter from somebody. Well, we prayed when you prayed, and we are rejoicing in Jesus. Oh, I love to preach the gospel because there's hope for everybody. Well, let's move along here. Colorado Springs, Colorado. After I did a mission trip, I decided to give 30% to the Lord's work. You try living on 10%. God has blessed. God will bless. Live simply. And that live simply, there's some people can't tithe because they live too high. They spend too much. They go, maybe they're eating out a lot or something. I don't know. You're buying things you don't need. And on the other hand, maybe there are some of you, you're just watching every penny and you're still close. That's okay. Just trust Jesus and go on. And you can pray for us, whether you can give or not, you can pray. One more letter. Kansas City, Missouri. We thank God for you and your wonderful service and how you're standing up for Jesus. I feel so close to Jesus and feel his wonderful love while listening to your service of the true gospel. Pray for our family in Jesus' love. And you see, this is the way it works. The wonderful word of God is given to our hands, and so we preach the word of God. And then the powerful Holy Spirit of God takes the word of God, and he takes it all over the world. And there are people with 1,000, with 1,000,000, maybe millions of different situations. And he goes to each situation and he applies it to that person. So we get letters and they say, you are preaching right at me, and how you don't even know me and you're preaching right at me. That's the Holy Spirit. And it's tailor-made. And he takes that Bible and he talks to you. And what he does is he'll try to bring you to Jesus. He wants you to come to Jesus. And then he wants to comfort your heart. And then he wants to challenge you to serve for Jesus. And oh, it's the only way to travel, to have Jesus in your life. So if you'd like to have some information on this wonderful Jesus, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And we need to hear from you because we have to have your help. We have to pay our way just like anybody else. So you write to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy. It's 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And the USA, of course, if you're out of state. Now, if you write to us, we'll send you our little booklet, our little Bible study. And it's on this month, month of December, on gifts that money can't buy. And then if you think that, and then you need to pray and ask God what you should give. Because we're not underwritten by any church or denomination or organization or anything else. We're underwritten by the people of God, God's people all over the world. And you say, oh, I live in Africa. I'd sure like to send something, but how am I going to put money in the offering plate in Africa? You can do it just so easy, you won't believe it. You'll get on our website, ChristianWorshipHour.com, ChristianWorshipHour.com, and there's a place that says donate. And you put down what you want to give, and you use your money in Africa or Siberia or wherever you are. I don't know where you're at. We hear from all over the different places of the world. And then you put down what you're going to give, and we will get it here in American currency, and we'll pay our bills. So wherever you are, you just can't escape that offering plate. There it is, right in front of you. So we're counting on you to help us. And then one other thing I want to mention, and that is people say, well, I don't know a thing about you. And I don't know if I send my money, you might just go out and buy a nice fancy car, or you might get a big boat, or you might get a house or something like that. Well, that we can't possibly do that. And I'll tell you why. We are a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books every year. They go through those books, it'll drive you crazy. And they'll check us out on what we get and how we spend it. And if we're not on the level, they won't authorize us. They won't let us be a part of their organization. And so we're a member in full standing of the Evangelical Council of Financial Accountability. So we need your help. Now let me give the address, then I'm going to pray. It's the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And then you give as God lays on your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for supporting this work. And we just pray your blessing on everyone who has a part in this giving. And if somebody doesn't have anything, we thank you for their prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from Hebrews chapter 9 today. And if you have your Bibles, get Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. And then we're going to have a prayer. And in our prayer, we always pray for the persecuted church. And so every week we pray for a different country. And today we're going to be praying for Saudi Arabia. And there are people dying there because of their faith. And they're losing their homes and they're being persecuted. And so we'll remember them. So Hebrews 9, beginning with verse 11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, how that he can purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which were called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture that tells us how that the dear Lord Jesus came, and how that the blood of bulls and goats could never, ever sacrifice for sins, could never wash them away. And so he came and became that great sacrifice, the sacrifice of the Son of God, who was God and was man. And as a man, he died on the cross, was raised the third day. And so we thank you for the Savior. And during this Christmas season, we're thinking of reasons that he came, the reasons Jesus came. And this day we're thinking the reason he came was to be a sacrifice for our sins. And so we give you thanks. Now, Lord, we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Saudi Arabia. We know that little children are orphans now because of the terrible persecution. We know homes are torn up and churches are torn down or burned in some instances. Not many churches there, but the ones that are being attacked. So we just know that you're there, and help those dear people who are suffering for you to know that you are there, and that you'll give them a crown of the martyr, and that you'll help them through every extremity of life. And Lord, as we think of these people, help us that wherever we might be living, that we'll rededicate our life to you and be willing to live for you, if even unto death, if needs be. Help us all to be able to do that. So now use us in this service, Lord, to uphold Jesus and to bring people to the Savior. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And Melissa's going to sing, "Mary, Did You Know?" Mary, did you know? And God bless you.
God bless you.
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? Creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child that you're holding is the great
Thank you, Melissa. God bless you. And that's why he came. He knew. Mary didn't know. She didn't know all that was ahead. But Jesus knew that he would go to a cross and he'd suffer on a cross and die on a cross. Jesus knew it all. And he gladly came. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And so now we're going to continue our sermons on the reasons for Jesus coming to this world, the month of December, we're going to have set aside for that. Our first sermon was Jesus came to reveal the invisible God. And then the second sermon was Jesus came to fulfill prophecy. Now today we're on the third sermon, and we're going to be looking at Jesus. He came to be a sacrifice for our sins and pay for our sins. And then next Sunday is a Christmas Day, or Christmas Eve. And oh, that's a wonderful time. And so that we're going to have a sermon on Jesus came to demonstrate the love of God. And then the last one, on the last day of December, we're going to look at the Jesus came to be a great high priest for us forever. It's wonderful about Jesus, and he came to do all of that, and he accomplished what he came to do. So let's look at this. He came to provide a sacrifice for sins. When sin entered the human race in the Garden of Eden, it brought a terrible problem. And that problem simply was that sin, that man cannot enter the presence of God in his sin. He can't be in the abode of God in sin. He can't be in the Garden of Eden, and he can't get into heaven if he has sin, one speck of sin. And so when we think of Adam and Eve, we think of their sin. And we think, oh, they must have done something terrible. But when you know what their sin was, they disobeyed God. Disobeyed God, that's all. And they didn't have television. They didn't have all of the things of the world before them. They didn't have any sin. There was no sin. And so they fell into sin because they disobeyed God. Well, so then sin has to be dealt with. And either he has to pay for that sin with his own soul in a Christless eternity, or else he has to have somebody pay for his sins. And it has to be full, paid in full, before anybody can meet God. When Adam and Eve sinned, we are told that they had garments of fig leaves to cover their nakedness. They knew they had sinned. They were ashamed of their sins, so they made garments out of fig leaves. But the garments of fig leaves didn't cover them in God's sight. He still saw their sin and their nakedness. And then we are told that God made them coats of skin and clothed them. The mercy of God, the goodness of God, the love of God showing here. He made them coats of skin that could clothe them. So for their sin and nakedness is covered before it's covered. Coats of skin have to be made by God. That is, an animal had to die. There had to be death and the shedding of blood. And that's exactly, some animal would have to die, would have to shed its blood, it would have to give its life, and before the sinning pair could be clothed with that skin. Now bring that up to the present day. Here we are today in this day and age, like our first parents. We have sinned. Every one of us have sinned. We didn't eat any forbidden fruit, but we live sinned in one way or another. And a sin in the Bible is to miss the mark. Miss the mark. And God has two marks or two standards. In the Old Testament was the Ten Commandments. And those Ten Commandments were given, and if you broke the law in one point, you broke all of them. And then when Jesus came and on the Sermon on the Mount, he told us something that made us shudder, and that is you didn't have to kill a man to be a murderer, you just had to hate him in your heart. And you didn't have to have any actual meeting of bodies to have an adultery. You have the thought in your mind. And you see that it is impossible for us to meet that standard. That was the Old Testament standard. Now when you come to the New Testament, his standard is Jesus Christ. He's given us an example of what we should be. And so this Lord Jesus Christ comes to be that great example for us. And so we are to measure up to be like God, to be like his Son. And when we start to think of his love, for instance, and how he went to the cross and he died for us and paid for our sins, and we know that we can't, we just don't do that. We just can't meet that standard. We have our own sins. And so the problem of it all is there has to be something. It has to be something that's sinless. And so we'll say, okay, let's get some dog. We'll sacrifice a dog, or we'll sacrifice a calf or a sheep and pay for our sins. But it has to be something, not only a person, but it has to be God, God in that person, because we're sinning against God, and it has to be sinless. And there's only one that can meet that, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who was God and is God and always was God. He was in the beginning with God. There never was a time he didn't exist, and there'll never be a time he won't continue to exist. And in that circle of eternity, he steps out of eternity and he comes in, and as God, he is born of a woman and takes on him a body. And if he is going to pay for our sins, he has to have a body, because God can't die. So as a human being, as a person, a sinless person, Jesus goes to the cross and pays for our sins. And so this dear Lord Jesus tells us he did that, and he did that at a time when we were all sinners and we were all rebelling against God and we're all going our own way and doing our own thing. And in the midst of all of our sins, he came and died for us. Paul talks about that. Apostle Paul talks about that in Romans 5, verses 8 and 9. He says, God commendeth his Lord love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we are saved from wrath through him. Paul tells us here we are all sinners, but while we were sinners, Christ died for us and paid that price. And that's the way for a lost world. They can come to Jesus because he paid the price. And when we receive Jesus Christ, we are washed of our sins and the sins are taken away and we become his children. So that's the reason Jesus was born. That's the reason we have the incarnation. That's the reason we have the enfleshment, God taking on flesh, except without sin. And so then, he goes to the cross. And remember what Jesus said? Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He came to die for us. He had no sins of his own, but the Lord loved us so much, and God the Father loved us so much, that he gave his Son. And his Son paid that price on the cross and covered our sins. But let's look at this for a minute now. When the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, God had to kill some animal. The blood had to be shed. And then as they grew, and we're looking at Genesis 3:15, God says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. And so Jesus, God is telling us that centuries before Jesus was ever born, he says, I'm going to send a son, and he's going to be the seed of a woman. And there's only one seed of the woman that ever existed, and that's Jesus Christ. The rest are all the seed of a man. And this wonderful miracle of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And he's going to come. And what is he going to do? He says his heel is going to be bruised. That is talking about the death of Jesus Christ. And it means his earth life, his heel, walking on the earth. It means his earth life as a human being. He's going to be bruised. He's going to be killed. And literally his heel was when the spikes went through. But it really stands for how his earth life, he's going to give his life. But look at what else he says, that this, and thou shalt bruise his heel. But he says, he shall bruise thy head. He's talking to Satan. He's talking to Satan and his rule. And so here you have it. You have the death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection, because the Christ who died will come back to earth and destroy Satan. In Genesis 3:15, it's beautiful, and it's all coming to pass. And there's going to be a day when Satan is going to be cast into the lake of fire. And they'll be there forever and ever with all of his angels and with all of those who choose to be with Satan. Because if you don't choose Jesus, you're choosing the devil. And some people say, I'm going to be neutral. I'm not going to be a Democrat or Republican. I'm going to be an independent. You know what Jesus says about those who said they won't take a stand? He says, he that is not with me is against me. If you don't make a choice for Jesus Christ, you're automatically against him. And that's why we're preaching the gospel, preaching our heads out all the time and begging you to come to Jesus. Because if you don't have Jesus and if you're not washed of your sins, you're going to have everlasting place in that lake of fire with the devil. And it's going to be your choice, because now I'm giving you a choice. You can have Jesus or you can reject Jesus. And you'll have to do one or the other. You can't get on the post. You can't get on the middle. There's no middle ground. It's black or it's white, or it's in or it's out. It's believe or it's unbelief. It's light or it's darkness. That's all. There's no in between. And you have to decide. Your wife can't do it for you. Your husband can't do it for you. Your children can't do it. The parents. Nobody can do it. It's all, the ball is in your court. And so with Adam and Eve, we have this picture then of how they were clothed with these skins. And then you go on as you look through this, and you'll see that they have the story of Cain and Abel. And here's the first brothers on the face of the earth, Cain and Abel. And they're living and they're working. And Abel has the care of the flocks. And Cain takes care of the fields and raises the vegetables and things like that. And so we are told that there's a time when Abel brings his sacrifice and he brings something from the flock. He brings a lamb. And he gives that sacrifice to God. And when he makes that sacrifice on that altar, there's a shedding of blood. That lamb had to die, and the blood was shed. You see that blood all the way through the Bible. And when you get to the book of Revelation, you see the saints of heaven singing. And they're singing, blessed is he who washed us in the blood and made us clean. We don't preach a lot about the blood anymore. We don't sing about the blood anymore. But when you get to heaven, that's going to be the main song to sing. He washed us in his blood and redeemed us. And so here's Abel, and he has that sacrifice. And then here comes Cain, and he comes, and he brings some nice vegetables. But as they say, there's no blood in a beet. And he brings his beet or his carrots or his tomatoes or whatever he brings, but there's no blood shed. And let's just read the story. And Abel was a keeper of sheep. This is in Genesis chapter 4, verses 2 to 5. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. Abel's offering was accepted. Cain's offering was rejected, and it was all because there was no shedding of blood. And when Abel brought the firstborn from his flock, he sacrificed it, the shedding of blood. And the point is made over and over and over, there has to be that blood. For instance, look at Genesis chapter 22. We have another picture of a sacrifice. It's the writer of the Hebrews sums it up in Hebrews 11. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And he is accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figure. the picture of Abraham taking up his son to be a sacrifice for God. But when it came time for the sacrifice, God had a substitute. And his son didn't have to die. He sacrificed that ram caught in the thicket. The blood was shed and the son was spared. When God took his son to the cross, there was no substitute there. Jesus died and paid for our sins with his own blood. And so we see that blood all the time. We see it in Exodus chapter 12, for instance. And this is a story that you're all familiar with. It's the story of the Passover. And in this Passover, we have the story of how that God says there needs to be, the Israel is now living, they're slaves in Egypt. And God's going to deliver them. And he tells them that he would have a slave. Every family is to have an animal, a lamb. It's to be a perfect lamb, as perfect as they can get. And then they're to slay that lamb. And they're to catch the blood of the lamb. And they're to take and sprinkle it on the doorposts on either side and the top. It's the form of the cross. And it's that blood applied. And so when at midnight, the death angel came, and the oldest in the land of man and beast were slain. If their blood was applied, the son was safe. If the blood wasn't applied, the son was dead. That's all. God is telling the children of Israel, I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night. I'll smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I'll execute my judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. To this day, this is observed in many places, called the Passover. And it's simply that the lamb was slain. It was slain that took care of a whole family. But the blood had to be applied. And here's the picture. Jesus shed his blood on the cross, but it's got to be applied. It doesn't help you a bit. The blood in the basin didn't mean a thing. It had to be applied. And Jesus shed his blood, and you apply his blood by faith when you ask him to come into your heart and take away your sins, and you're pleading the blood of Jesus. And God tells us, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I'll wash them all away. And again in Hebrews, he says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. It was the blood. Had to be the blood all the time. And then you come to Leviticus 16. And here you see something else. And here it is that a goat is to be, it's called on the Day of Atonement. And a goat was slain, and it was to be taken care of all the nation of Israel. And so this one animal is slain for a nation. See this first in Passover? It's just for a family. Now it's for a nation. And then you read on, and you'll come to Isaiah's prophecy, and you'll find out that something else is going to happen. You find out that this sacrifice is going to be a person. It's going to be a person. It talks about he is despised and rejected of men in Isaiah 53. He is despised and we esteemed him not. He was wounded for our transgressions and so on. All of these wonderful things. And it's talking about a human being going to be a sacrifice. But we're not to the end of the story. The end of the story comes when you come into the New Testament. And John the Baptist is at the Jordan River and he's baptizing. And the people have come to confess their sins and to be baptized as he taught repentance, to turn from your sins. And when you accept Jesus, you're turning from your sins. You're promising him, you're turning from your sins. Jesus taught repentance. So when you ask Jesus into your heart, you tell him, I'll make you the Lord of my life. I'll serve you the best I can, turning from your sins. And so John the Baptist is preaching. There are multitudes of people there, and they're all being baptized. And this is a wonderful thing. And then all of a sudden, John the Baptist stops. And he points his finger at Jesus. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. not the sin for one man like with Abel, not the sin for like with the Passover for a family, not the sin of the Day of Atonement for a nation, but this is a man and he is going to be sacrificed for the sins of the whole wide world. And that's the gospel. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, that's the song we sing and that's the thing we praise, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And when you get to the book of Revelation and the 5th chapter and the 9th and 10th verses, listen to them singing. They're in heaven now. They're in heaven and time is no more. And we're all there, we're singing. And what are we singing? And they sang a new song, singing, "Thou art worthy, thou who wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God a kingdom of priests, and we shall reign on earth." And the angels sing the same old song. And they sing in Revelation 5, verse 11, "And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. 10,000 times 10,000 is a million, millions, millions. And what are they doing? They're singing with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory." That's the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And when you come to the study of the Scriptures, it's just interesting to notice how much emphasis they put upon the death of Jesus being slain for us. In Matthew's gospel, 1/3 of his book is given to the last week of our Lord's life, 1/3 of the book. Mark has 1/3 of his book emphasizing the last word week of our Lord's earthly life. Luke gives 1/4 of his book to the last week. And John, the beloved, gave 5/12, almost 1/2 of his total book to the last week of Jesus on earth. That's how important it was. And the final book, the book of Revelation, is a great revelation of Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior of the world. And what this scripture is teaching us is that he came to save us from our sins. Adam and Eve sinned, and we've all sinned. Adam's sin passed on us, but don't blame Adam. I've got enough sins of my own to outpour old Adam. And so have you. And Jesus says, God says, we're all sinners. And he says, there's none righteous, no, not one, not one single one. And so we come to Jesus. And Jesus goes to the cross. And he came, that's why he came at Christmas. He came to be born of the Virgin Mary, to grow to manhood, to go to the cross and die. He came to redeem our sins, the world, to pay for our sins. But it doesn't mean a thing, not one thing, unless you ask him and apply that blood. There has to be a time. As many as received him, Jesus says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. You have to receive Jesus. And you say, I don't know how to receive Jesus. Well, you receive him. You just simply ask him into your heart. Somebody knocks on your heart, knocks on your door, you open the door and say, come in. That's how you receive people. And Jesus is knocking at your door and you just say, dear Jesus, come into my heart, take away my sins, and you receive him and you're born again. That's how you apply the blood of Jesus. Now, if you've made that prayer, and you can pray right now, dear Lord, I'm a sinner. I ask you to come into my heart, take away my sins. I'm sorry for you. For my sins, and I just pray I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. You pray that. And if you pray that, you write to us. We'll send you literature. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. And I give this so many times because people on shortwave can't see the screen. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. And we'd love to hear from you, and we'll send you literature. And if you write to us, we also have a little booklet on if a Christian commits suicide, can he be saved? And the scriptures teach, yes, you can be saved if you commit suicide. Or there's another booklet on, can I lose my salvation? No, you can't. And if you can send an offering along to help, it'll help. Prepare us little 12-page booklets. And we'd love to hear from you. But if you just write to us, and then we'll pray for you. And if you've accepted Jesus, we'll send you special literature to help you along. And so now we're going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the multitudes of people that are coming to you for salvation. We just pray, Lord, that you'll help be multitudes all over the world that'll pray to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And then we pray, Lord, for those who are lonely. And we pray for those who are shut-ins. We pray for those on beds of sickness. We pray for those in prison, Lord. We pray for those that are young people and don't know what decision to make in life. Praying for the children who watch us today, that they'll open their heart to you. Pray that in all these things, we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So now you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then you have a wonderful week as we prepare for next Sunday when we'll be at Christmas Eve. Can you imagine it? You're that close to Christmas. Boy, you kids better be good this week or you're going to be in trouble. And at least do it for 1 week. You could try at least. But the main thing is, we're going to be looking at Jesus, because Jesus is the reason for the season. He's the reason we have this Christmas time. It's the coming of the Savior who loved us so much that he came to this world and he suffered under Pontius Pilate and he was nailed to a cross and he was raised from the dead. That's the story of Christmas. It's the coming of the Savior. And when you put your faith in Jesus, he'll come into your heart, into your life. And he'll be there as long as you live. And when you live, he'll take you to heaven. God bless you. We're looking for you next Sunday.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.